clock out. Goldie and Tausch begins now. We need to get to Rob Domofsky forthwith. Real briefly, though, you know how I love LinkedIn. Josh Rosen, we're not connections yet. I have not sent him an invite to connect. He is in the MBA program at the Wharton School at Penn, and he's scheduled to graduate in 2027. So he's putting his UCLA economics degree to work as he gets his MBA. Time now to help Jesse and Tausch win some moolah that they can then wisely invest with Prize Picks.
Yes, it is the Prize Picks of the week. We'll do a couple quick ones here. We're getting ready for Packers Cardinals 325 on Sunday afternoon. A lot of talk this week about Jordan Love's rushing yards. How about more or less than 12 and a half scrambling rushing yards for Jordan Love on the ground, Tausch?
More. We saw that last week. I think he sees how important that is. And I think Jason pointed this out in one of his articles on Channel 3000. The rushing yards more this year than all of last season. Obviously, injuries were a factor in that, but he was moving fluidly and getting down and being smart about it. He's done where he's lowered his shoulder when he's had to. I think he's feeling about as fine as he's felt in a long time. And on the road, pass rush gets in there a little bit more. It happens a little quicker. You slide out of a pocket. He really only needs one biggin. He gets one biggin. He's 12 and a half and we're, boop, check. First part of our deal, check. More.
I agree. More. Next.
Matthew Golden, also a topic of conversation this week. More or less than 48 and a half receiving yards.
Ooh. More. I mean, he can do that on one play. He's explosive. He is explosive. And Jason has been lobbying hard to get him the football more. You got Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV lobbying for Micah to get more holding calls. You got Jason Wilde from Wilde and Tausch and Good Karma Brands and Channel 3000 and WBAY TV and The Beef. And what other stuff are you doing?
The
Avondale
Beef?
And Stratford?
Yeah. Huh? Colette Vacations, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Vacations. And he's advocating we need more touches for the Rook. I think Matt LaFleur listens. I think Matthew Golden's going to get more looks. And I think 48 is a nice low number for somebody that I think the Green Bay Packers want to get involved in more.
More here, too. Next.
Last one. We had a bit of a coming out party against the Packers at Lambeau Field last year. Trey McBride, Cardinals tight end, more or less than 64 and a half receiving yards.
Less. I think Green Bay has figured some things out. I don't know if tight ends dominated us this year. I don't remember Jake have a big game against us down there in Dallas? I don't know.
I'm going to have to fact check that one.
I think we'll clamp him. I think we can clamp him.
Clamping.
And go less.
I'm going to have to fact check that one on Jake Ferguson, who, by the way, I don't know if you knew this, Barry Alvarez's grandson.
Having a great year.
I'm going to say more. I'm going to say more on this one, so I'm going to disagree.
He's engaged to one of those basketball gals from Miami.
The Cavender twins.
Too. Yeah. Big social media stars down there. Yeah, really good for him.
Good for Jake. All right, that is Prize Picks.
Well, let's be honest, though. I think it's probably good for her, too. Jake's a big deal. Let's not always just say, Jake's a big deal. Good for everybody. Huh?
Until they get divorced. Barry, tell us more about Prize.
Barry did say they went down to when the Cowboys were in Chicago.
What the hell is wrong with you? What did you hear, Jason? What is he doing?
Yeah, it's kind of
celebrity relationships. Celebrity relationships.
That's not very nice at all.
Celebrity relationships frequently don't work out.
Would you like me to bring that up with his grandfather on Monday night at the Hard Rock Casino?
Play that clip. Play that clip.
Are you concerned?
That's gonna be a problem.
With old Joe.
Barry, are you concerned? Jesse Nelson from the Jesse Nelson Show with Derek Engler.
Oh, this is not my question at all, and he will know that if I bring it up.
Put this all on Jaybird.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Are you concerned about how the alarming rate of celebrity marriages that don't work out?
It's terrible.
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you how to do your job, Jesse. I think that will buzzkill that show like this just buzzkilled that. But you know what's not buzzkill? Playing Prize Picks. It makes it fun, real fun, to watch these games, which players are going to go. If you have your sports opinions, how do you think this Packer-Cardinal game is going to take off? You think it's going to be a big Josh Jacobs deal? You think it's going to be a Jordan Love show? You think it's going to be a defensive slog? Well, Prize Picks allows you to take your sports opinions and put them into real cash. I like more for Jordan Love on the 12.5. I like more on Matthew Golden. I have Jalen Hurts down less at 212.5. I think the Eagles, with Flores playing them this week, that's going to be my play. You guys go ahead and have your play, but just make sure you're using Prize Picks because it is fast, safe, and secure. They offer Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, quick, easy deposits into your account this football season. Just make sure you use the code WI when you download Prize Picks app. Get on there, use the code WI, get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it is good
to be right. We'll ask Rob Domofsky how challenging celebrity relationships are. He dealt with Olivia Munn once upon a time as it related to one of those. We probably won't ask him about that. More with Wilde and Tausch next. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
You know what that music means? He's a big fan of the Boss. He also has a lot of history with baseball. We can get his thoughts on the Brewers. I mean, he trick-or-treated at Bruce Sutter's house. He was a bat boy for the Chicago White Sox. And he's got his nice ESPN quarter zip.
It looks good.
Looking sharp.
Good today. Looks like he's going to play some golf after he gets done working, is what it looks like.
Well, I had to go shoot a Sports Center for You, the new initiative for the app video, and we either have to wear logoed company material or a sport coat, and I've decided to go with the company material today.
Smart move.
Hey, you know what? You know what, Tausch? You know what's listening to Jason's open there? Like, if you ever tell Jason anything, be it your personal life, be it like something you've done in the past, like he never forgets anything.
Oh, we know.
Like, no, he's got a great memory.
Times that I went to Bruce Sutter's house and he gave out autographed baseball cards until you reminded me. I do remember he lived on a cul-de-sac, and he was in the back right corner of that street. I can't remember what the street was. It was off of Fernandez, but I don't remember what the circular court was, but Jason, I feel like sometimes Jason knows more about my life than I do.
Rob, how long you've been working with Jason? For over 25 years. You know his game. This is what he does. He did this to me as a player. He does it with you. He greases you up. He finds some fun facts about you, and then the trust level goes, and he gets you to say things. That's why he is the 3-time sports writer of the year, and he's got 52
Rob's
jobs.
3 times 2. It's not that prestigious.
I think I've only won twice.
What does that mean? Why are you crap? What is that? You basically just said the award sucks because Domofsky just got it?
No.
So you grease him up, and then you tear him down? Oh, boy.
No, I mean, in all seriousness, it is why he's good. Like, he has things to talk to about people, and he's good at it. So it's just kind of funny.
I agree. Like,
sometimes I forget some of the things that I've done.
Well, beware when you're opening up the old vault. You know old boy's putting it away, and he's going to use it when it fits him. So just be careful.
I heard the end of the last segment about Olivia Munn. Yeah, I know.
Oh, he's got all that stuff in the holster. He's already got Jake Ferguson getting divorced. Like, the whole thing. I don't know where his mind works in some really weird ways. But Rob, not in a weird way, the one of the topics of the week, soup du jour, if you will, is Micah Parsons getting held. You know, Mike, I thought was great yesterday when he was with you guys.
Oh, that's fantastic.
This, I don't think things are going to change. I bet he gets a call or two this week, but this is his reality. He is so good that he is going to get chipped. He's going to get his ribs. That is what we're taught to do to great pass rushers. What did you make of your session with Micah yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, you could see it coming for sure. Like, I kind of – not that I know Micah well, but you could kind of – you know, we've known him well enough to know that he even told us the first time he talked to us, I'm going to say some things that I probably shouldn't say. So I was both excited for
like
and
– yep.
And satisfied with his discussion with us. It makes covering the team fun. So I thought that was really good. Look, I mean, you know, talking to people that have covered him in Dallas, like he and I don't want to say he complained about getting held because it's not, that's not exactly what it is. But he has talked about this before. Like, this is not new in his career. And he even said it's been going on for 5 years. So, you know, I don't think that I don't think that part of it's new. I appreciate his honesty. I don't think he was whining. Like, I don't think it was a guy who was trying to beg for calls. It was more just saying, you know, this is how it's going to be. I do wonder if it works at all to talk to referees. I mean, like, we've all seen in basketball, like, you know, referees can get manipulated and intimidated.
Yeah, Mike Krzyzewski did it.
That national championship game. Yep, 100%. Yep. Like, that second half completely changed. In Atlanta, yep. I think a game was in Atlanta, if I remember right.
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. I was in Atlanta. That's what it was.
Okay.
On my way to the Masters. But
break.
It doesn't
nice
know
flex.
If that works in the NFL. Like, Tausch, did you ever say anything to
yes, it does
know,
work.
It
does, Rob. And it does. And I can give you a distinct one. We're up in Detroit playing on Thanksgiving morning. First play of the game, we have a play to the left, and I could see that at this point, the defensive ends, my job was I had to take a good angle to go get that backside backer. We left the defensive end, and the defensive end completely grabbed me. I couldn't get up. The linebacker, I go right to the official, and I say, hey, old boy is grabbing me. Pay attention to slip. And we run, I think, a very similar play the next play or soon after, and same thing happens. And they throw a flag. So I think as long as you're not barking at them and you go up and say, hey, old boy is lining up here. And defensive guys do it too. They say, hey, that tackle's back. That's because I don't remember names. The back, if you're lining up too deep, they'll say, hey, that tackle's not up on the line of scrimmage. If you do it and you do it in a nice way, it's like anything else. And you guys can say when you're covering people, if you like them, you're probably going to be a little – you maybe give a benefit of the doubt. It's the same thing.
You're right.
Human nature is human nature. If somebody's barking at me and I have an opportunity to say, bleh, I'm going to say, bleh. And if somebody's really nice and it's even, I might throw – oh, you know what? I'm going to give Rob a bone here.
Now, two things. One, earlier in the week, Matt LaFleur did say – he's like, look, we've probably gotten away with some too. And I remember – there was one Rashid Walker, I think it was against Trey Hendrickson. I mean, obvious holding not called in that game.
Absolutely.
The other thing I was going to ask you, Tausch, like, do you think guys that line up across from Zach Tom always say, hey, man, he's going early? Because it sure looks like he goes early, just like Bakhtiari went early. Like, those, I don't know how they time it up so perfectly. But, man, if I was lining up against those guys, I'd say, hey, man, watch him. He's going early.
And that's my point on all of this. I don't want flag fests. I am not interested in that. And I think, unfortunately, Sunday we're going to see that because Jason went through the officials. He's got some website that he looks at. A lot of flags getting thrown. So it's not
Alex
Cleet Blakeman.
It is not. Tausch just enjoys saying Cleet Blakeman.
Oh, Alex Kemp.
No, it is, and this website is useful, by the way. It's Alex Moore.
Well,
not to be confused with Tausch's favorite. Who's your guy?
Bob Moore.
Rob Moore
or Ron.
Bob
Ronald
Moore,
Moore is Big Bob Juicy. Moore, I think. You guys remember Big Juicy, right?
Yeah, Big Juicy.
Seventh round pick in 2000.
Alex Moore's crew has thrown more flags, 109, for more yardage, right. 828, than any other crew in the league entering this week's games. 24 of those 109 penalties, as you can read on channel3000.com, are for holding on the offense. So
I thought this was interesting. I asked our research people if they could come up with, you know, how many times guys were called for holding Micah Parsons, and they didn't have it that specific. But I did have this in my story. Since you promoted yours, I will promote mine on ESPN.com.
Oh, God, a promote-a-thon.
That, the Packers,
promote-a-thon
Packers,
today.
Opponents, yeah, Packers opponents have only been called for 6 holding penalties all year, and that's third fewest in the league. So then I know they played one fewer game than most teams too.
Well, and part of it is quarterbacks know with this defense and with Micah, you got to get the ball out. Flacco got it out quick, and that was, you know, people are frustrated about the pass rush. Quarterbacks can control pass rush almost as much, if not more, than offensive linemen.
Sure.
But your point on Zach Tom and Sheed, and this is why I don't get up in arms about this stuff. I don't want, unless it is a tackle, egregious, as the word of the day, I don't want flags. I think it just ruins the flow of the game. I like it when stuff happens. If you're getting egregiously tackled to the ground and you're limited, but as I told when Balaga was on and he seconded this, if an offensive lineman doesn't get their feet beat, I don't want a flag on it. I just don't.
Yeah, well, it's offensive linemen and officiating are kind of the same way. If nobody's talking about them, that means they did a pretty good job, right?
Rob, do you I'm curious. I don't know, in your long and illustrious career, if you ever felt like you changed the course of history or a narrative. Alan Herman, the longtime agent, what's his firm? Sportstars.
Ryan Grant.
Was always convinced that I, of all people, which I let him believe this, even though it was wrong, but I went on ESPN during the Favre saga and said that they needed to get something done with Ryan Grant, and they did. Ryan Grant to this day believes that too. It's preposterous. I don't have that kind of power, but. The holding story wasn't a story until your buddy Aaron Nagler and the Cheesehead TV guys spliced together a bunch of examples. And then he asked LaFleur about it on Monday, and now here we are, and Micah, like six or seven answers yesterday about this issue. It kind of just flamed up this week, even though it's been going on since he got here and was going on in Dallas.
I get your point. I mean, remember there was a story, Tosh, I can't remember if this was you when you were playing or not, but I think it was somebody in the Journal Sentinel, maybe Michael Cunningham, got some special teams or backup cornerback or DB to start trashing the coaches or something, and then the guy ended up getting cut because of the story. Like, that's the only time that anything we do actually impacts the outcome or something. But that guy kind of made his – do you remember the player? I can't remember who it was.
So that was not Chris Akins who got into the argument with Sherman on the sideline, and Sherman is pulling off his headset and throwing it down and yelling at him.
I don't think it was that. But there was some story that came out back in the days when, you know, there stories came out once a day, and they had a lot longer shelf life because there was no internet. And it was a scathing article. It was a scathing article, and the guy got caught. It's the only way we've ever impacted things. So we're not Woodward and Bernstein. We're not exposing corruption at the highest level. There's no Watergate here. So,
well, I still think you and I got Dave Rayner cut because we thought he was going to be the kicker.
We wrote a lot about him. Yeah.
Ended up being Mason Crosby, the rookie out of Colorado. That worked out pretty good for the Packers on the whole. Talking with Rob Domofsky on Wildy and Tausch. Rob, speaking of scathing, I thought Jeff Hafley did a brilliant job of basically preventing us from doing an effective, even though you'd written yours and you adjusted it thereafter, stories on how they're not good enough defensively in the fourth quarter. Like, he took that on the minute he walked in the room yesterday.
Yeah, he owned it. I appreciate that. I appreciate a coach who knows kind of what the topic's going to be, He had clearly, he was ready for it. I don't think he was overly defensive about it.
No.
No pun intended. Look, I mean, it was, you know, it was, he's been a head coach before, going to be a head coach again. But I think if you're a fan, and that's what, you know, really what we're doing here is for the fans, like, you would appreciate, you know, reading or listening to what he had to say yesterday, because it's good insight. And that's, I mean, that's sort of the, what we're here for, right?
It is indeed. All right, Rob, I know you got to get to Matt LaFleur because we got to you a little bit late. What else is on your radar, though, for this week? What else, as you, other than seeing some of our friends in Arizona when you get to town?
Unlike these guys, I can do this because it doesn't matter. I'm already looking ahead to Pittsburgh, man. That next week's going to be – I've already filed about 1,400 words on what it was like when the Packers played in Minneapolis in 2009, when they played against Brett, and how this isn't going to quite be like that. But this is, you know, obviously the game. This week's stuff has been put to bed. Obviously the game is huge, but, like, man, I'm ready for next week. I think it's going to be fun.
The game is huge, but I've already put it to bed, and I'm already writing Rodgers stories.
I mean, it's all about the games for them, but I'm ready for the next one.
This right, is Rob. Nowhere wow. near the far. Like,
no, it is.
How would you?
It isn't,
because, how would you put it scale wise? Like, it's a three compared to a 10, right?
Yeah. Here's what's different about it, and the crux of it is when Brett left, and before he went to Minnesota, everyone was mad at the Packers, and I say everyone, not everyone, but the majority of people
Jesse
were
was.
Mad at the Packers for not taking them back. And then the script flipped when they became mad at Brett for then going to Minnesota to, you know, stick it up, you know, where to Ted. There was none of that when, at least none that I heard it. And I had a great quote from Goody that's in the story about how, you know, what Ted went through in 2009 and how different it was for him. I'll let the quote speak for itself when the story runs, but I think that sort of sums up why it's so different, and the different players, different feelings about those players. Not that one was any more, you know, they're both great players, but just from a personality standpoint, an appreciation standpoint, a love standpoint. Brett came in at a time when, you know, the franchise had been terrible for so long, so he was beloved for that. But yeah, I agree, it's not the same, but it sure is fun.
I'm going to predict this, and this is going to be an upset. Most of the time players tell you they're going to play it like a normal week. I think Rodgers is going to embrace this and run with it. I think he is going to say this is a bigger deal. This is something that I think he is going to play into it more than when you saw Micah said, no, it's not a big deal. He's going to be honest about it, not lie.
Yeah. McCarthy was pretty honest about it when he came up here the first time as the Cowboys coach. And then afterwards, leading into the playoff game, he said he regretted how he handled it. So, you know, we'll
he
see.
Did. And I believe he even got a little frustrated, very, very, very frustrated in the press conference afterward because there were all these questions about him coming back. And he was not a fan of that. And now he's back in town and trying to get in the building for games and having to have the Washington Commanders invite him from time to time. Rob, always a pleasure. We'll see you over at Lambeau a little later.
All right, guys. Have a good one. We'll be seeing you.
That is Rob Domofsky. He'll be at Matt LaFleur's presser here momentarily.
That's an interesting nugget. Explain more about Mike. He's not getting
so he was obviously brought back for Alumni Day when he was out there and you didn't
great.
Wave and that whole thing. And then he was back the following week when they played the Commanders because he was up by Dan Quinn, who obviously was his defensive coordinator, Joe Witt, who was on his staff, so he's a guest of the Commanders. And then I think Rob was the one who told us that when the Packers played the Cowboys in Dallas, they called it the McCarthy Bowl, and then he went on McAfee and mentioned it. He didn't get invited to go to that game by either team, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, tough one. That's funny.
That is Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. We'll see what Matt LaFleur has to say. He'll be at the podium momentarily. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I see the light go past my shoulder on one less day from dying young, and I'm not afraid.
Thanks, Rob Domofsky. He joins us every Friday. Unless we move him to a different day. Here on Wilde and Tausch. So, Tausch, after watching your old quarterback last night, I don't know how much of it you got to see, after celebrating the Sun Prairie East Cardinals freshman football victory and drowning your sorrows with the Brewers' loss. But he looked like he was turning back the clock last night. And for folks that weren't paying attention during the second half of the season as he got healthier, as his comeback from his ruptured Achilles continued, he still can sling it now. And he moves better than we probably gave him credit for, certainly not the way he did as vintage Aaron Rodgers. As long as one of his offensive linemen isn't tackling him after a touchdown, things seem to be good.
God, that was hilarious. That made me
laugh. To him it wasn't.
He was so mad.
No, he's mad. It's probably the maddest you've ever seen him after throwing a tutter.
So for those of you who did not see this, his rookie offensive lineman, his left tackle, celebratorily, if that's a word, jumped on Rodgers' back after the touchdown pass that gave them the lead. They ultimately lost on a field goal late. But he came up behind him and then took him to the ground. And Rodgers gets up and then shoves him and says,
yeah, he's mad.
What appears to be, what the blank are you doing? He was not pleased.
That's so funny. Oh, that's great. That is great. You want enthusiasm. What do you want? Not to be happy after you throw a tutter? Come on.
Not here to judge. I'm just saying that he was not pleased. That's for sure.
You're not here to judge. You got people getting divorced before they get married. You're telling me you're not here to get judged?
I didn't say that that's going to happen, if I recall correctly. What is going to happen is we're going to do our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week after Tausch tells us about Tito's Vodka.
Oh, Tito's Vodka. Oh, we got our Rose Bowl reunion tonight. Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm guessing there's going to be a Tito's or two that'll be had. And you know what? It might be, I don't know what I'll go with tonight. Probably cranberry. Yeah, I'm going to pick cranberry tonight. You can go with whatever your heart desires, but make sure that it is Tito's in your glass. And not only do they make great drinks, they also give back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's handmade vodka, distilled and bottled by fifth generation in Austin, Texas, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Matt LaFleur will be at the podium at 10:55. That's in a couple of minutes. We'll be doing our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Those are next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week.
Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilde and Tausch.
It is time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, presented by Steinhoffels, Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader, celebrating 91 years. This is the last weekend to shop their friends and family sale, where you can save 10% store wide or take advantage of 36 month 0% financing. Plus, it's also your last chance to take $91 off of every $999 you spend and get a $200 MasterCard rewards card when you finance over $1,999. Celebrate 91 years of quality, value, and style in store or online at Steinhoffels.com. That's Steinhoffels.com. Tausch,
Your Steinhoffel sleeper of the week is who?
Man, this is getting to be tougher and tougher because Matthew Golden, you feel kind of fraudulent picking him because he's, you know, Jason's lobbying for him to get more touches. And he's a number one, you know, he's a first round pick and all of that. So I don't feel great about that. So I'm not going to go down that road. Musgrave has bit me. It has not worked for him. And I'm trying to kind of balance it. And here's somebody that I think has been good. I think he needs to step it up a notch. We need turnovers. And I'm not talking about apple fritters or blueberries. I'm talking get the ball out. And I think this guy is the catalyst for it. He is a great, I think he's a really good young player. I still believe he's on the exempt list. And I know he needs to have a big day for me to win. I think he has the big day. I'm going Edgerrin Cooper. That's my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week. That's what I'm doing.
Huh.
He's not on the list. Is he exempt or is he on the list?
He is not on our exempt list.
All right.
But he's going to need to have a really big day to...
Yeah, he needs a turnover. He needs a turnover a sack.
You know what? Something this like is that. Brilliant by him. Because Tausch is in the lead. He has three victories. Jason and I each have two. And Edgerrin Cooper may have a very average day. But if his stat line is anything, if Jason and I pick someone who's an actual sleeper and doesn't really do anything, Tausch is going to win just because Edgerrin Cooper played.
Who are the exempt list people? Jordan Love.
Jacobs.
Micah Josh Parsons. Jacobs.
Tucker Kraft. Xavier McKinney.
And, yeah, those five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, Jesse, who are you taking?
Well, I was really going to go crazy and go Baron Sorrell.
I was too. That's who I had.
But if you're going Edgerrin Cooper, and he, again, now this is becoming a game to try and win the Steinhoffler as opposed to just picking someone
it's
who
not
might.
Not the spirit of the game,
yeah,
man.
I don't like that. You know what? I'm going to stick with it. Baron Sorrell. Day three pick, our guy.
I think it's a really good
moment
pick
today, or on Sunday. Baron Sorrell. I'm taking him on Prize Picks. He's at a .5 sack with the little demon guy next to him. It'd be an upset. I think Baron Sorrell gets a sack. I think he shows up.
If he gets a sack, you'll almost certainly win.
Unless Coop has two picks.
Yeah, well, if Tausch is going to pick Edgerrin Cooper, then I'm taking Matthew Golden. I'm going to put my pick where my mouth is.
Oh, my God.
And look, I personally take umbrage with his selection, but if we have to play dirty pool, then that's what we're gonna do. This is what
we're
gonna do.
How many turnovers has Edgerrin Cooper made? How many sacks does he have? He's been good. He hasn't been great, right? Has he?
He was the two-time defensive player of the week, not rookie defensive player of the week, the defensive player of the week last year. He is not a sleeper. Teams look at number 56 and say, we need to know where that guy is.
I need him to make some plays. He's got a place to make some plays.
You know it's not the spirit of this. So I was never going to take Matthew Golden until you took Edgerrin Cooper.
This feels dirty. I'm about to put this tweet out. Our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week for Packers Cardinals.
You should change yours to Josh Jacobs.
Matthew Golden.
Hey,
what are we doing?
Change the exempt list. Change it if you want. Put him on it.
Matthew Golden has 14 catches all season. He's clearly not a productive player. He's a sleeper.
Conversation Tausch, all week is he's at number one.
If you will rescind your Edgerrin Cooper pick, I will pick someone else too. But you're the one who started this road down the sketchy avenue.
I should have just went with – I was going to go with Jesse's guy. That's who I was picking because Lucas Van Ness, I'm guessing LaFleur said he's probably not playing, right?
I don't know if he's said that officially yet.
J.J. Anagbarek, I could go with him. There's going to be somebody somewhere on that side's going to get some. I wanted to go Rashawn Gary, but I believe he's on the exempt list.
He's on some list. So are you willing to do a do-over? And Jesse would have to pick someone else.
No.
You know what?
What's done is done.
No.
What is done is done.
You know what? I am a man of principle. There is no... No, come on. I can't in good conscience take Matthew Golden. As much as I want to, I'm not going to stoop to your level. You get down, you wrestle with pigs,
Bob
you get
Stoops.
Money too.
Mark Stoops. I should win this week just for picking the only sleeper of the group.
Yep. No, I'm going to take one.
Yep.
I am going to take one. He's going to be battling against his brother. His parents have split jerseys, and he's getting a little bit of work on offense now with the occasional end-around jet sweep, also playing on special teams and returning kickoffs, and he's a true sleeper as opposed to, I don't know, Edgerrin Cooper. I will take Bo Melton. Bo Melton as my sleeper of the week.
Love it.
Those are our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week.
Watch Golden go for 12 catches and three touchdowns.
But again, I would certainly accept the victory, but I would feel dirty. Vitasha's got no shame. So if Edgerrin Cooper has 11
tackles, take a shower
and recovers
a
fumble,
in a shower.
He's going to take the dunk.
In a shower.
Kaboo in a bar.
He was ready to pick Edgerrin Cooper as a defensive player of the year when we were at Hard Rock back in the summer. Oh, he's a sleeper. Yeah.
How many turnovers have we created so far this year, boys?
Dos.
But really one.
Oh. Interesting. Okay.
Well, then Xavier McKinney, who had 8 interceptions last year, he's only got one
he's
through
on
5
the
games.
List.
He shouldn't be
How
on the list.
How many times do we have to tell you he's on the list?
The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch with Edgerrin Cooper, your Steinhoffel's sleeper of the week. Continues next, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.